Hey, Render friends, it's Nick here with another Grayscale Gorilla podcast. Today is a big day. I've been waiting 10 years for a new Mac Pro, and I currently have my credit card out and my finger over the buy button, and I'm hoping Chad can talk me out of buying this expensive machine. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We also have some news about Arnold 6 and the new GPU renderer, and also Redshift had quite a few updates as well. So we get into a little bit of render news. Really fun podcast. Hope you stick around. And before we get started today, I wanted to welcome all of you who joined Grayscale Gorilla Plus in the last month. We had quite a few of you join. It's been very exciting to see you click around and start watching all this training. And don't forget, if you haven't checked out Plus, we have now included all of our material collections. So that is the Everyday Material Collection, the Modern Surface Material Collection, and Texture Kit Pro for those of you still using physical render. And definitely check out the new training as well. We have our Houdini course that we just dropped. And also in December, we're dropping some Arnold training. So we'll be talking a little bit about that today. But definitely come check out Grayscale Gorilla Plus. It's been really amazing to see all of you join in the last month. And we cannot wait to show you what we have in store. And with that, let's head on into today's podcast. Well, hello. Welcome back to the Grayscale Gorilla podcast. Today, we have some guests with us, Chad Ashley. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just wonderful. Michael, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing swell.
Feeling better? I know you got the holiday cold.
Oh, yeah. It's been going around in the family, but I'm feeling good today.
You sound good, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just my deep, voice.
Well, tons of news going on today. We're going to be talking about the new Mac Pro. Finally, we got some pricing on that thing. We're going to talk about if this thing is Mac still a thing for 3D. We're going to talk about that. What else we got? Arnold 6 GPU just came out. Or yep. Is that an announcement, or is that kind of a new thing there, Chad?
Yeah, so Arnold 6 just dropped, which is the new Arnold core, and they're bringing Arnold GPU out of beta.
All right, we'll be talking about that. And of course, Redshift had an update, so Render Wars are still alive. But look, I kind of hope I'm going to I'm hoping, Chad, you can like be either the angel or the devil on my shoulder and help me decide about this Mac Pro. Now, before everybody get in the comments, get the hate ready. But don't hit enter yet until you just hear me out just for a second. I have been using the same Mac Pro for almost 10 years now. For 9 years, I've had the old school, what they call a cheese grater, 2010, 8-core, maxed out Mac Pro, or 12-core, I'm sorry. That thing was top of the heap when I got that dude. That thing was flying. And of course, we know for the last 9 years, Mac's been not updating, come out with the trash can. That wasn't really the answer we needed. Came out with the iMac Pros, which looked pretty fast. They still seem like an option. But then, of course, they dropped this actual modular Mac Pro, what everybody's been waiting for. And then, of course, we find out today what the actual pricing is. So I'm sure we've all, I know I have. Has anyone else gone in and maxed out a Mac Pro? A 2019 Mac Pro to see the big
cost. I didn't actually have to do it because there was a bunch of people doing it for me on various like Slacks and Twitter and stuff. Like, oh my God, look at this. It's more than I think somebody said it's more than a Cybertruck. Like it costs more than a Cybertruck.
So. Less than a banana with duct tape though.
True.
You know,
true.
So I think you get 3 Mac Pros for the cost of that. So it sounds like it's about 50 grand if you crank all the numbers up. Now, I was a little nervous when I saw that. So I went in and I tried to replicate my PC as close as I could to that. And of course, you can't quite replicate it. You can't even get a chip in the new Mac Pro that's as fast as my my chip in my current PC. However, I tried to crank the numbers to an okay place, like again, to try to get it similar to my PC. Any guesses on how much that will cost? And that's without a monitor, by the way. What do you think?
I already know. I know the answer, but I want Mike to guess.
Oh, I feel like my guess is going to be outrageous, but it's also probably realistic. Somewhere in, like, let's say the $20,000 range.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Oh, my God.
Ding, ding, ding. So not as fast of a chip. Of course, the graphics cards are pretty impressive for this new Mac. They seem really cool if you're Final Cutting all day. But the jury's out on how these are going to even perform or even be compatible with GPU rendering right now. So we're still waiting on all that news. So you essentially, if I take the graphics cards out of it, if I get the chips in the right place, if I don't go crazy on RAM, we're in the, yeah, just around 20, depending on the hard drive, depending on all this stuff. So let's call it 15 to 22,000. Depending on some of the little extras.
And that doesn't,
I was getting 25 when I spec'd mine out to be similar to our systems. So I don't know. I have to go back and look at how you did it, but
yeah. So I may have missed a couple things too. I didn't get the wheels, Chad. So
you didn't go, dude.
Look, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to pay $400 for wheels.
Well, how are you going to move it? You don't have wheels.
So,
drag it like a barbarian.
I know. What? Look, I have a bad back, guys. I can't pick this thing up. It's heavy. It's heavy.
I mean, you might as well for that price. It should come with someone. It'll come to your house and move it anytime you want it moved.
Just Rick, call
up. It's like, oh yeah, I need to move it across the room again. Oh, okay, I'll be right there.
Oh man. I definitely spent some time on the page. Now, of course. This is all a little bit silly, right? This is an expensive machine that I think is beautiful machine. It's plenty fast. I started watching some of the YouTube videos that are already out on it, seeing the Cinebench scores, which, by the way, before we get into it, Cinebench, I ran a raw Cinebench on my machine. Now, there was some other stuff running. I think I was still had like Cinema 4D open. It wasn't a perfect Cinebench, but I got around an 11,000 Cinebench on my PC. Is that kind of roughly where yours is, Chad? You're a little bit faster these days,
I haven't done one in a long time, and I honestly don't remember what my score was, but I am overclocking my system a little bit, so I'm guessing it'll probably be a little bit faster.
I think, if I remember right, you were closer to 12,000 because of your overclocking. I was a wimp, old school, went 11,000, and I forgot too, which is why I went and ran it. And the reason I did was because Marcus Brownlee, is that how you say his name?
MKBHD.
That guy, love him. It wasn't him. I watched his video, and then I watched the one that played up right after it. I'll go find out this video. We'll put it in the links. He did a Cinebench score on the new Mac Pro, which had all the chippies in it, the fastest chipset. He got a 9,000. I want to say it was a 9,600, somewhere around there. So again,
that's what he got in this latest vid that he just dropped, or was that
something?
Oh, okay.
Latest vid. He's like, go click Cinebench. Watched it. All the buckets spun around, and so
I mean, that's not surprising. That's an older CPU,
right? Well, and we talked about this on one of the shows where, you know, we not to defend the Apple thing, but they don't really get the brand new chipsets, mostly for that for stability reasons, go back and listen to the other podcast. I won't go back into that, but Mac is always a little bit behind because of they try to feature reliability over speed.
Also, they have a longer manufacturing process. So they need to, because they're manufacturing their entire system themselves, everything has to be tested and work together, which is like harder to be on the cutting edge of latest, greatest stuff without completely redoing their line.
Yeah. So all of this is to say, now look, if you're listening to this, you're like, I can't believe we're even talking about this. Like, why are we
raising my hand right now?
That's Chad, which is good. I think that's actually a pretty healthy place to be right now. In fact, if you're sitting out there and you are happy with your current computer, and it also happens to maybe, it actually doesn't matter. If you're actually sitting there and happy with your current computer setup, then you could kind of ignore all this. Like, you could fast forward here because there's no need to worry about the new Mac Pro, right? You're happy. Everything's fine. For those of you who are either in a PC world and kind of bumming about Windows, or you're still on your Mac, which I've talked to many people now, I've been doing these road shows, talking, been out in the United States, circling the country, meeting these people that are like, hey, I'm kind of still waiting for this Mac Pro. I'm really hoping I don't have to do the Windows thing. Is the Mac Pro something that these people should be looking at? I'm also kind of putting my hand in there. I know I don't, like do as much rendering as I used to, and not in, definitely not in Cinema 4D as much as I used to. But is this thing even a thing anyone should be looking at, or are we just in a Windows world? Should we all suck it up and just be a part of this Windows nonsense?
That's a tough question. I feel like it's a very, so let me rewind it back for a second. I think if you're a studio and you're buying multiple machines and you want to keep your costs at reasonable levels, then absolutely do not go with the Mac Pro. However, if you are an editor or a colorist and you're not a 3D artist at all, maybe it makes sense. I don't know. I'm not in that world, so I can't really say, but I can tell from just how they're positioning it, that's who they're going after. So that there's that. But yeah, I think for the individual artist or the freelancer, you should just bite the bullet and go with PC. You're going to get way more bang for your buck. You're going to get way more versatility. And at the end of the day, versatility and bang for the buck mean a lot for a person who's spending their own money on a machine.
That's so reasonable, Chad.
Right?
Come on. Are you saying that somebody should buy this machine?
I'm saying that if you have money to burn and you think the OS is worth $10,000,
then put it that way.
go for it. But just know that you're going to be behind the tech curve, if that's something that even matters to you. Probably doesn't. And it's just going to be like a very nice, expensive machine that in a year from now, you'll probably wish you had just waited for the version 2, or whatever version. Is there versions with these things? I don't even know.
Yeah, man.
They tend to just update stuff. They don't do like full out new versions.
Yeah.
New releases.
Okay.
They'll tweak a piece of hardware and then come out with another one. But so I just priced it out fully specced out Mac Pro, $52,748. That is almost $12,000 more than the brand new car that I want to get. That I'm still like, no, I can't afford that car. I can't even get a tower. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You can pull the RAM, but like that's a terabyte and a half of RAM, right? So that's like, you could shave off like 20 grand just by like getting some normal RAM, going to the slightly smaller hard drive. And, I think that little booster thing, the Thunder Booster, whatever they call that, that's only for Final Cut. So you could get rid of that, dude. That's 2 grand. Don't forget about the wheels.
The wheels, dude. I mean, the RAM is just ridiculous. And like, I'm not in a world where I need that much RAM. It's just like the amount of RAM you can get is just, I don't even understand it. But where they get you is on the CPU. So that CPU, the entire industry is sort of moving towards AMD for CPU because they're killing it. They're delivering amazing chipsets for extremely low prices. It's insane. The Threadripper, the Ryzen's, they're very cheap for how much power they deliver. So to me, like going with an Intel-based Xeon, it's just like that already seems old to me, and that already seems like an outdated way of thinking. If they had launched this thing with Threadripper, and you know, maybe it was, I'm assuming it would drop the price maybe like $5,000, maybe even more, I don't know. Then it becomes a little bit, it's still not something I would recommend, but it's a little less ridiculous.
Yeah, it does seem, it's silly on the face of it when you're like, okay, this is twice, at least twice as much as my PC, which I bought a year ago, by the way. So my year old PC, it is over twice as expensive. It is not as fast in the chip area, right? If I was just to, like, let's say I'm an Arnold user, well, or physical user, I'm not, it's correct. Not as fast.
Yes.
And the GPU situation is still a big question mark. Now, Maxon said that they're working on a metal version of Redshift. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know when that's going to drop.
Exactly. So you might buy a brand new Mac Pro and then still have to wait like a year until you could even use Redshift on a GPU.
Right. And even then you're going to be using, it's going to be a while before it's stable. It's going to be a while before it supports all the features. Yeah. I'm imagining it's no small feat to like make this thing work on metal. Then there's also, that waiting for it to become something that's usable. So, you know, it's, and then you're paying a lot for these cards. These cards are not cheap either, which is kind of ridiculous. I don't really know much about Radeon cards. I didn't think they were this much money though. Like it seems like they're
custom,
very expensive.
They're like custom for this machine. Like I think as far as I understand, they only work in this machine and they're designed specifically for this.
Right. Cause they're those module things, right?
Black, they're like
box things.
Well, which also makes me think, so like I'm delaying what I will kind of share here. They call this in the radio, the little teaser. I will tell you if, I purchased one of these already. and if I did, which one? But I'm going to hold back just a moment.
Well, there's only one, right? Do you mean which graphics card?
I'm saying I may or may not have already like purchased one of those.
I can pretty much guess you did, obviously.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, it's all right. It's just, yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to stay tuned, Chad.
All right. I'll be here.
Okay. So what I'm thinking though, is you can upgrade this stuff. So because we don't know what's happening with the video cards, we can save some bucks on a video card. And then just buy one later, because it is just a module you slap into this machine, as far as I understand. So you can save the money there if you're going to go more, you know, chip rendering anyway.
But what's the benefit of that? Apple's not going to slash these prices.
No, that's true. But if I wait a year and then metal does get supported and then there's a new video card, I'm not double buying a card I'm really not going to use. So I could just get like the regular card.
So what you're saying is
way
like
less.
They might release a version that specifically works on one of these better than another. And you're going to buy the cheapest GPU and wait for that.
I'm saying it's an option. I'm saying, okay, here's what's happening. I'm trying to justify getting one of these.
This is going to be interesting.
And you, I'm kind of hoping, Chad, you're on the other shoulder. Because I got talking to you right now. I got 2010 Nick on one shoulder saying, you have waited 10 years to not buy any new Mac stuff because they have not done what you've wanted them to. And they have finally kind of done what you've wanted them to for the last 10 years, and you're not going to buy one? Are you serious? That's Nick on this shoulder. And then I have like mini Chad on the other shoulder saying what you're saying right now, just like, come on, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm like a large voice of reason on your shoulder, like, come on.
you got a genie hat on.
And honestly, I don't even think we probably still would have this conversation. We wouldn't have as much of this conversation had your PC not had that cooling problem where you had to send it back and you kind of got all mad and all that sort of thing. I think if that had never happened and you were working on your PC and it's just fine, then you would be slightly leaning towards the side where I'm sitting on your shoulder and you'd be like, scoliosed over.
I understand that. I'll tell you this though. I've been using this machine since I got it back. They did an awesome job in fixing it, and it's been working, let's call it flawlessly, since I got it. Like hardware-wise and software-wise, it's been working fine. Like tons of uptime, renders fast. It, you know, flies with GPU, flies with CPU. However, I still cannot get used to this operating system. I know I'm like a broken record. I'm probably being somewhat of a baby, but I'm not alone here. It's like, it's a ridiculous operating system. And it's ridiculous. Like every time you just went in to go try to turn your microphone up before this podcast and like could not figure it out. And that should not be on anybody to not know like where that button is. That's on Windows. They screwed you up. You know, like they screwed it up for you is what I'm saying. Oh, dude. And like that's like,
how much are you actually, here's my thing. Like I want to like shadow you for a day and see how much you're actually doing in the OS. Cause honestly, this is my day. I open up Chrome. I open up Cinema. Like that's it. Like I'm never in anything else. Like I'm not in the OS. Like I don't know what, I don't understand the OS beefs.
Look, I got a contract. I got it downloaded. I got to sign it. Where's my PDF pen? It's not here. I'll tell you that much. I got a big old like number to figure out. Where's my solver?
I got it. It's called a calculator, man. We have that. What are you talking about?
Come on, calculator.
Calculator. I could just Google everything anyway. I just ask Google to like, hey, what's 13 divided by 5? But no, I mean like the signing document thing. Like, aren't PCs like the business computer of the world? Like, I don't really sign a lot of documents, so I would assume there's something for PC to sign documents.
Yeah, it's the business computer in the same way those like hard to use boomerang looking phones are the business phones. Like, yeah, every company had one of those crappy boomerang looking phones, and they could never work. Nobody knew. Phone? You remember we had those at DK. Every company had one of those circular kind of like triangle shaped speaker phones.
I was like, wait, you're talking about a BlackBerry? Like, what are you talking about? You're talking about the I'm gonna forget the name. And
what's the brand of that thing?
Yeah, dude, I remember those things. It kind of looks like a triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So the same way that every office has one of those, every office also has like it's not a good excuse to say like, yeah, it's a business thing. Yeah, there's a lot of crappy like business software.
So what is a lot of crappy me. What you're telling me is that you would be willing to spend over $10,000 more to be able to sign a PDF? Because you're making my argument for me.
Get
right
off
here.
My shoulder, Chad.
Dude, you're making it. I can't, like, this is, like, so easy. I'm just going to
don't take this from me. I've been waiting for 10 years.
For that much money, you could hire a lawyer to come to your house and sign whatever the hell you want, dude.
All right, and we'll move on to some other news because this is becoming less and less of a. I mean, this is really fun. I really enjoy this, but I think it is becoming less and less of a discussion for our industry. As GPU moves forward, as real time engines move forward, it is so clear that even if this machine was slightly faster, or I don't even know. Even 50% faster than my current PC, and it worked with CPU, and it was the price it is now. It's still, there's so many other things we could sit here and discuss about how it will become outdated, we might not be able to upgrade it, and if we do, it will be very expensive, and how, like you said, version 2 is always better with Apple products. Like, there's so many other arguments where I don't want to spend all day talking about it, and now you hear me talking myself out of it as well. So, for me, this is a really unique use case, but I think it's worth it for the YouTube video. Like, I think it's worth it for the YouTube video.
Can
and then,
we return it if we buy?
Yeah,
it,
I mean, well,
can we just send it back?
Yeah, here's what's good about Apple stuff, which I know is not going to be the same with this with this expensive PC next to me, which is if I were to go resell this PC, it'd probably be worth like 50% of what I paid for it a year ago. That's my guess. Probably not too far off. Whereas that Mac, probably like hold its value pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to do that pretty well. I mean, they're well-built machines. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's a quality machine. There's no doubt that it's a quality machine. It's just not for us.
Yeah,
it's
not for us. I know. Can we start doing Final Cut tutorials?
No, never again. Never again. Mike. You'll never get me back, I swear. No way.
Mike!
I left Final Cut in the dirt, man. That thing, they made it so bad. I can never go back.
Oh,
I will say the two things I miss the most, one was pressing the space bar to preview. So I had to download a little like plugin for that. The other thing is I was terrible at organizing documents and trying to search for files on a PC. You might as well just remake the entire file because you're not going to find it. So being on a PC for about almost 2 years now, I've had to just restructure and organize all of my stuff so I can actually find it instead of just searching my downloads folder, because I will never find it in there.
So, Mike, what you're saying is that it made you a better person? Is that what you're saying?
I won't go that far.
I mean, it sounds to me like it helped you get over something where organization and all that. So maybe, yeah, sounds like a real shining recommendation right there.
Well, so before I tell you if I actually already purchased this, I will say that we've talked about this on other episodes where, Chad, there was a day where you pulled and pulled me by my hair, frankly, like into the Google world. And you said, get off of Apple Mail. I can't believe you're still using this. Get off of Safari. Get in Chrome world. Get in Docs. Like, get in Gmail. I didn't have any of that. And you pulled me in and I was kicking and screaming. And then within a week, I was like, you know what? You're right. This is way better. I can log in to my Chrome and I get everything's there. It's identical across the board. And I get all this nice Gmail stuff and they can, you know, they can spy on me all they want. They won me over, these Google folks. And I'm saying all that only to say that has not happened within the PC world. I came in kicking and screaming and everyone said it won't be as bad as you think. And it's, I mean, I'm being a little dramatic. It's fine. It's just fine. It works. I'm not excited. You know what it is? I'm not excited. Of all the little toys that I try to surround myself with, the one that I like spend the most time in front of does not make me happy. And it's not exciting.
I mean, it doesn't
exciting.
Make any of us excited. I mean, it's Windows, you know,
And let me ask you this. And I'm going to be on your shoulder. Is sure. $10,000 worth being happy when you go to work and you sit and stand in front of a 30-inch screen?
I'm in two things.
$10,000 to make me happy.
I mean, yeah, I would. I could make myself happy with that cash. Believe me.
The 10 grand in the pocket.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a ticket to happiness. No, I mean, I'm not, like I said, like, it's not a barrier for me because I'm in Chrome and I'm in my apps. I'm not in the OS farting around doing whatever. But you also have to remember too, like, I came from the time when 3D was just starting out where you were doing everything on an SGI workstation using Unix. So for me, having gone from Unix to Mac to PC, like trying all of them, I sort of learned early on that this is utilitarian. It is meant to get a job done. And so for me, I don't use the OS as a way to, like, you know, get excited or find artistic, you know, comfort or whatever. Like, I use it in a utilitarian way. It's a way for me to get my job done, to make beautiful imagery and all that jazz. So when I want a experience like what you just described, that's sort of what I get from my phone. And I'm a Google guy, like you just mentioned. So I have a Pixel phone, and that's where I get my, you know, beautiful experience of everything working together and blah, blah, blah. So I guess I just treat the workstation as more of a utility than necessarily anything else.
Yeah, I think, and that's a little bit where I am today. So I I've come to this machine, which I'm speaking to you on right now, for all my podcasty stuff and the audio and recording tutorials. I'm in Cinema. I'm using it. You know, it's a great machine. It does all that stuff. And then anytime I got to do practically anything else other than be in Chrome, I walk out of this room and into the other room where my old 10-year-old Mac Pro is, and I sit down with the low-res monitor and with like the fan buzzing a little bit because there's like dust all crammed in there from 10 years of dust I should probably clean out. And I'm so much happier over there, like, you know, doing all my old Mackie stuff and like doing research, and I'm doing a lot of like building this presentation right now. I'm doing it all over on my Mac. So maybe that's just going to be my future. I got to go flip on this Windows curious, thing.
Why haven't you just gotten the new MacBook, the 16-inch? Set it next, you know, set it on your desk and like plug that into a KVM switch where then you're just like one button. You've now switched your mouse and your monitor and all that so that you don't have to get up and walk across the room. You can just like plop, switch over, start doing your thing, plop it over.
I think that ultimately is where I'm going to end up. I just haven't, like, I got an old Mac Mini. I could just shove in on the side here and flip over to it and do all my regular stuff. I think that's where I go. What I tried to do, and this is more of an experiment that I mostly did so I could record it and talk about it for the year, is I just tried to jump in as hard as I could. And hopefully, like, after the cold water hit me, I would just like be okay with it. Like, just surround myself with it. And then eventually my body would be like, oh, this isn't so bad. This is actually okay. And that's why I got rid of the Mac in here, to kind of force me to do the experiment.
Cold turkey.
Yeah, there you go. And so now that it's been a year, and then I also had the machine gone for a while. So I literally had to go back to my Mac, little reference there, let it go back to my Mac. And that kind of warmed me back up. Like, oh, this is way slower over here. But man, I won't get back into all that stuff. That's been rehashed on other podcasts. But anyway, I'll be looking at it. Let me spill the news for those of you waiting. Or if you haven't fast forwarded already, like, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to listen to this guy talk about an outdated machine. I did not order a Mac Pro yet.
What? Wow.
What a shocker.
You got me. You got me, bro. That was like, I was seriously like, well, there you go. Those 20 grand.
Now,
are you just waiting for the next payday? Or
yeah, I mean, like, yeah. Is this like a, you know,
I'm gonna wait for the end of year numbers, see how everything is. Have I mentioned Grayscale Gorilla Plus? Because so yeah, I'm gonna kind of, at least for now, just wait it out, try to get somebody else to do the research for me a little bit. I'm kind of hoping somebody will grab it. EJ, if you're listening, I'd say go ahead. You have my full permission, EJ, to just go ahead and get one. I know you've been waiting. Like, I if you need a little angel on your shoulder, EJ, I say just go get it. You know what? Just have me over and let me know. But I'm kind of waiting for somebody else in the industry, at least, that wants to kind of experiment, do a little bit more research, especially with these video cards. That's kind of the big holdout for me, is metal for Redshift and that integration, and just kind of see where all that sits. And then we'll see. If there's some big news, I'll definitely spill it. But I definitely wanted to talk about it since it's fresh in my mind. And I did have it in the cart. I did have the beautiful display. I'm sure it's beautiful. I'm sure it's I just couldn't do it. It's a lot of cash.
When we're done here, I'm going to totally buy one.
Like, oh, Chad, you already have a faster PC than I do.
And I know, but I had to live with that. Imagine like how like insane that would be if I didn't even tell you that I did it. I just wait for it to show up. And then I just take a picture of myself with it, like, oh my God, it's here.
No, I find out on YouTube as I'm desperately hoping somebody gets one.
And it's me.
And it's you. You made the A/B test video on YouTube. Hey,
this thing
everybody.
Is awesome.
Chad here, and I was totally wrong. This is sweet. I can't believe you didn't buy one.
Wow, what a chump.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that would be great.
Wow, well, that was fun. Hey, let us know if you are even considering this ridiculous thing in the comments below. And you know what? Give me a little bit of what I really want to know. Help me justify getting one of these for you. For those of you listening, help me justify getting one of these, at least trying to find one that I could borrow or do something to get the dang YouTube video out. Because I think an A-B test kind of thing would be fun. Be fun to kind of battle them out. So let me know your thoughts in the comments. We can move the heck on to
before we go. Here we go. Last question.
Okay.
If you just love stainless steel and you have the budget, do you buy a Mac Pro or a dual motor Cybertruck with self-driving capabilities? They cost the same. I know, which one's it gonna be?
Are you serious?
I'm going Cybertruck, dude. That thing looks killer.
Man, how much is a Cybertruck? So it's like $50,000 for one of these things?
Yeah, if you want to add self-driving, you can get the dual motor with self-driving. That's getting closer to about 60. It's about $50,000 without self-driving.
Okay. Man.
Does that it come really with like a post-apocalyptic like outfit or anything like that?
I'm sure you have one in your closet already.
I could just dig that out. Yeah.
Is there a CD player or no? Yeah. Six disc CD player.
Yeah, I think if it has that, you're definitely going to need some rust proofing on those metal walls. Actually, no, they're not supposed to rust, right? Those panels that they have.
It puts the windows
weren't supposed to break either. So
right.
See, that's why you wait for version two, right there.
There you go.
I don't know, man. That's when you put it in perspective. There, I gotta say, yeah, we won't get back into it. I think. When you really spec it out to the 20,000 range, it's still ridiculous. Like it's still so ridiculous. I don't know.
Glad that you're starting to see the ridiculousness.
I don't know. There's gonna be a new Mac in my life. I've been waiting too long. Now I know we said we move on. I just want to let you know. I also spec'd out a maxed out iMac Pro. On your recommendation, Chad, you're like, look, if you really want pretty spreadsheets and a nice, better screen, and it's a Mac world, why don't you just get a new iMac Pro? I said, smart. Thank you, Chad. That helped. Went and maxed that dude out. That is 11 or 12-ish grand. And the Cinebench score, which I looked up, is 6,000. Which isn't, I mean, when you think about where this, what a PC would cost to do that. I think it's, of course, like anytime you compare the raw parts versus a Mac, it's going to look crazy. But yeah, the options are pretty for Cinema 4D users and 3D animators and people that are trying to render at home. I don't know if I could like in good conscience recommend it.
Yeah.
For me, who's spending his day making more presentations and I guess signing contracts. Although I did find a really nice model of Baby Yoda, so that really pulled me back into Redshift pretty heavy this week. Just wanted to let you guys know. I should put that in the link too. Let me make that note that somebody has a 3D printed Baby Yoda model that you could just drag into Cinema and it looks great. So we're going to send you over here. Give him a couple bucks, will you, when you download it? Anyway, that has pulled me back. And so I'm still doing some rendering over here. Anyway, when you put it like that, it does seem a little crazy. Let us know in the comments what you guys think. We can move on to non-Apple related stuff and into some other news. Chad, why don't you tell us a little bit about the new Arnold update?
Yeah, so I've been on the Arnold beta for, God, forever now. And Arnold GPU entered beta about a year ago, I think. And they just announced today, Arnold 6 core GPU is out of beta, which means that it supports like 98% of all the features that CPU has. It's much faster. It's much more reliable. It's I would say for the most part, it's production ready ish. It's not without its problems. It's not without its limitations. It has more of a hardware limitation than I would say most other GPU renderers do, because it's they're very dependent on NVIDIA GPUs, specifically the RTX cards. You don't have to use RTX cards, but it's recommended. And I have a whole slew of, we're putting out an article very soon that's going to walk through all my recommendations for getting a machine to work with Arnold GPU and not sort of feel like it's slow. And it's not as fast as Redshift and Octane on most things, although I have tested Arnold GPU in some situations where it's faster than Redshift. But for the most part, it generally is about 10 to 20% slower on most scenes. And that's just because of the nature of it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much to tell. I mean, it's really been in the works forever. I've been through ups and downs. In the beginning, I was excited about it. Then when they put it out in beta, it was like really slow and not so great. And they fixed a bunch of things. And so now I'm sort of on an upswing. I'm liking it again. It's actually faster in some situations than my Threadripper, which is great. So yeah, it's good.
So is this because they're seeing some people have, you know, all the chips and some people want to, you know, have a ton of graphics cards, like maybe they were into Octane and they moved over? Is that why they're doing this, or is it just to like speed up certain parts of the workflow? Like you would, you know, texture in GPU, and then you would do your final in CPU. Like what's the use case right now?
The use case right now is actually probably the biggest benefit, because what you get is you get the ability to look dev and light on GPU if you have a system with maybe dual graphics cards, or maybe you have four graphics cards, and you're going to get great performance out of your look dev. But being able to switch on the fly back to CPU is the real benefit here, because then what that means is that if you want to send your file off to a CPU farm, which are cheaper to render on than GPU farms, like cloud-based farms and even building your own farm, you have that ability to look dev on GPU, get it the way you want, and then flip over to CPU and send it to a farm. And it's going to look exactly the same. And that is really unique. There's not very many other renderers that are able to do that. So that versatility is definitely worth something. And I've been using it that way for a while. And I think that's fantastic. Now, for me, it's a bit harder for me to want to switch over to the GPU, because I have a Threadripper and that thing is like, you know, bonkers fast. But for those of you out there that maybe don't have a really beefy CPU, and you sort of put all your chips in this GPU basket and you bought, you know, four graphics cards or whatever, you're going to be able to use Arnold and it's going to feel a lot speedier than it used to before.
And for someone like that, could they still just use their GPU and do the final render?
Absolutely. Yeah.
With that. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So it's not just like a GPU mode and then you always have to render CPU. It's really either or.
Yeah, what's really wild and this is kind of crazy that they were able to make this happen, is like you can actually flip while the IPR is going, you can flip from GPU to CPU and it'll just like turn on. Like you don't have to like restart the IPR, you don't have to like restart Cinema or anything like that. It just like does it.
Awesome. I think I was interrupting you there, Michael. What were you saying?
Yeah, I just want some clarification. So in terms of, let's say I have an Arnold license and I have a Mac, I'm still limited to just the CPU version, correct? Like the GPU only works with NVIDIA PCs?
Yeah, the NVIDIA cards, it's absolutely just an NVIDIA thing. So yeah, if you're on a Mac, unless you're rocking some external GPU setup, then yeah, you're kind of out of luck there.
Bwomp, bwomp.
And then I even think that, man, I want to say that you might even be out of luck on external GPUs too, but don't quote me on that. But I'm not sure you can even use those. But yeah, so that's and there's no medal coming for this because this they are in cahoots, you might say, with NVIDIA, and they've been working really hand in hand with the NVIDIA team to optimize Arnold on GPU to work specifically with the RTX hardware. Specifically, also I don't want to forget mentioning. Check out the blog post that we're about to launch because I'm going to tell you sort of the optimal setup to get Arnold GPU working in a way that that's nice and speedy. And it's actually more hardware specific than anything else. Oh yeah, one more thing I forgot to mention. Arnold is actually dropped their price of their single user license down to, I believe you can get it for $340 a year through Tool Farm, which is ridiculous. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll be checking that out. I've been playing more around more with Arnold lately. I still am probably more comfortable in Redshift, but just been experimenting a lot more. Maybe with that Mac in the back of my head, like, oh gosh, crap, I'm gonna lose my graphics card.
Yeah, I mean, but Arnold's still my favorite. I think it's got the most deep feature set. It's got the best plugin, in my opinion, and it also is using more native Cinema 4D features than most of them do. And that actually is a good segue into this next update, which is Maxon put out a ton of press releases earlier this week. I think it was, Mike. Wasn't it earlier this week or was it last week?
It was the middle of last week.
Earliest this week. It's Monday today. Or no, today's Tuesday. I've completely lost track of time. When it gets close to the holidays, more days start to like blend together, I swear to God. Anyway, so last week, Maxon released a bunch of PR to talk about two big things with Redshift. And that is the support for Maxon's internal new node-based material system and the support of Maxon Cinema 4D noises in Redshift. And we put out a blog post about that. And it was something that a lot of people were excited about. It was pretty heavily teased. And then when it dropped, it was like everywhere. I think I got the notification in an email. I saw it in ads. It was even on the splash screen that pops up when you start Cinema 4D. So I was eager to try it out, and honestly, the noise implementation was fine. It was missing some things. It was missing like some key things that I think would have been great to have, like the movement feature from the original noise and the some of the animation sort of features, which I really enjoy in the Cinema 4D noises. But for the most part, it functioned.
I use all those all the time. You're saying you can't, it's like a different interface to bring those.
No, they don't. They're not in there. They're
gotcha.
Not, yeah, they're just not in there. And maybe that's something that they're going to do. I don't know. But yeah, there's just a couple things that weren't there, but it worked. For the most part, it worked. I think the big issue that I had with this announcement was more around the Redshift working in the material editor, which was definitely not like great yet. And we cover the node-based material editor in our training. Where did we do the training, Mike? We had
it's both in the guide to R20 and it's also part of Grayscale Gorilla Plus.
Right. Okay. So if you're in there and you've seen that, you sort of get the idea of what the Maxon nodes are all about and all that sort of thing. And it's not quite there yet. There's some things that it doesn't support. You can't save stuff to the content browser, a node-based material in the content browser, which is kind of a bummer for me because like that's pretty much all of our materials that we make live in there and go to and from the content browser. So that was kind of a big gotcha there. But yeah, it just wasn't there yet. And I think that maybe that has something to do with just the node-based material system in Cinema. Maybe that's something that they're hopefully going to be fixing and adding more functionality there. And but the good news is I think they're aware of some of these issues and I think they're working on them, obviously. And the other good news is that other renderers like Arnold, they're working on supporting the new node system in Cinema as well, which is kind of cool. So I hope that by maybe NAB time, we'll all be hopefully using that new node system.
Is it like a beta situation? It's not quite out.
It is, because here's the thing, like, it's part of the Redshift 3.0 version, which is not out yet. It's in what they call experimental releases, where you have to go to the Redshift site, you have to log into the forum, you have to go to the experimental build section and download the experimental build. It's not something that anybody should be using in production, although I know a lot of people that do. I wouldn't personally do that. But yeah, so it's in this experimental build, and it's not called a beta, it's called experimental, although I would consider it a beta. My big beef with that whole marketing PR thing that happened was that nobody said this was an experimental build. Nobody said this was beta. So I was under the impression by all the PR that I got that this was ready for prime time, ready for production. And it wasn't, which was a little disappointing.
I gotcha. So it's still available. Anybody can go get it, but you gotta kind of check the box and say, I know that this is experimental, and kind of go through a couple hoops to get it running.
Yeah.
It's not like auto updating for anybody or anything like that.
No, you have to go out and seek it out. And I think it's worth going in there and playing around with it and giving them feedback on what works and what doesn't work, and sort of beta testing it a little bit. I think that's good. I think everybody should do that. But I personally, there's just too many gotchas right now for me to use it every day.
Well, it's been crazy in the render worlds out there, getting all these new versions. I've been seeing the node stuff pop up, and where's Octane been sitting in all of this lately? Have they had a big update or anything planned in their future?
They got the 2020 update, which looks pretty promising. I feel like they're doing some interesting stuff. It's just a matter of them making good on everything that they're talking about, which, you know, historically they've not been super great about that. So I think everybody's really cautiously optimistic about what they're doing. Specifically, what I'm excited about with them is, like, they're going to support NVLink, which is something that Arnold also supports, which I have, which is a little device that kind of looks like a little, like, Batman throwing grappling hook thing. It's hard to describe, but it's like a little device that connects two GPUs together so that they can work faster together and pool memory and stuff like that. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about, you know, just some of the other stuff that I've seen in Octane 2020. I don't have it in front of me right now, but there was some things in there that looked interesting. I want to say it was maybe random walk, unless they already have that. Maybe I can't remember exactly, but yeah, they're doing some interesting things. I don't think they've been sitting idle by any means.
Yeah, it's as we get into 2020, I can't believe it's 2020. As we get into 2020 and see some of this stuff too, I know we have some plans. We're still working on, you know, dates and all this stuff, but really diving a little bit deeper into where the render wars is right now and kind of what that world looks like. So I'll be definitely asking some more questions as well. So thanks as always for staying up to date with all that stuff, Chad. People always,
yeah, man.
I know I appreciate it, and I know the listeners always tell me, like, they love hearing how all that is, even if they're still, you know, they have their renderer, they're using it, it's in production, it's fine. It's like seeing and hearing all of what's going on. So,
yeah, man, no problem. I just want to reiterate though that Arnold GPU is definitely worth checking out. Check out our blog post about it. I think it's a fantastic option for those of you that are looking for something that's very versatile. So yeah, I'm super stoked on it.
I'll jump on top of that. For all the tons of you that joined Grayscale Gorilla Plus during our big sale a few weeks ago, there is brand new Arnold training coming your way. We're going to have some Arnold 5 training dropping very soon. And then Chad's working on some Arnold 6 stuff. So there's about to be a ton of new stuff in Grayscale Gorilla Plus.
Ooh, I'll be watching that.
That course is killer. I can't wait to get that on the site.
Yeah, so if you haven't checked out, well, First of all, if you had joined Plus, so many of you joined, it's been really exciting to kind of see everybody jump in, and they've been sharing screenshots of what you guys have been watching. It's been really fun. For those of you who joined, thank you. It's been a huge push for us to get Grayscale Gorilla Plus where it is. And we're really excited to have you, and we have so much stuff planned for it. And for those of you who haven't checked it out, definitely go to the page. If you haven't seen the new Grayscale Gorilla Plus page, Michael and the team did an incredible job with really showing everything that is included, and also some of the stuff we have planned for the future as well. So that's been the biggest question, is like, what adding to all this? So if you haven't checked it out, we obviously have all of our materials in it now. If you've been looking at any of our materials, it's all there. And then, of course, all the training and our Houdini training as well. I don't know if we did a podcast. I know we had a podcast with the trainer that did our Houdini training, but we haven't really talked about it here on like the general podcast. That is also out as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's doing really well. We're getting a ton of great feedback. I think a lot of people were happy with the approach that Russ Gauthier put this course together for us, where we specifically wanted to talk to the Cinema 4D artist and teach them about Houdini. It's not just like a cold dive into Houdini and you not knowing anything, but it's really for, you know, Grayscale Gorilla longtime fans and tutorial lovers to be taught in a way that they're already comfortable with, but learning Houdini and then even jumping back into cinema.
Yeah, it looks awesome. With the holidays coming, I think I'm going to jump into some Arnold training and a little bit of Houdini. I've always wanted to play with it. I know we talked about it a couple podcasts ago of like, is it as crazy as it seems? So I'm excited to jump in there. We've actually been getting a ton of feedback too. People are jumping in and saying exactly that. Like they click with it. They've been learning a ton and even showing some of the work they've been doing in Houdini. So if you are a Plus member, don't forget to log in, see all the new stuff. And if you're not a member yet, come join us. It's been really fun to have you guys all here learning and being a part of Plus. Unless there's anything else, I think we could wrap this one up. Any last minute news before it gets cold and everyone has to go holiday shopping and all the fun stuff out there?
Nothing that I think we covered so much. I'm like, did we talk? I think we talked about that.
I just need to get your credit card info so I can check out this Mac Pro page for a little bit. And then,
all I have left on my to-do list is click buy right here.
Oh my gosh. All right. Actually, if you guys could just get one and tell me if it's worth it, but I bet actually save time, you know. Thanks. I appreciate it. Just go ahead. Somebody out there, please go use your credit card. Or if you're, you know, Linus Tech Tips, you know, give us a call. Like, you want somebody to like really push this machine, like, just come on over. I'll buy the flight. I'll come on over to your place. And I just want to play with a little bit of, like, I don't know, maybe some Arnold or something. We'll set it up. Hey, call me. Linus, call me. We'll set it up. Anyway, thanks for listening, folks. Let us know what you think in the comments. We always we read all the comments here on YouTube if you're watching, or in the podcast. So always appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe if you're listening to this, you're watching it on YouTube. We have this in audio form and podcast world. You're going to be in the car. You're going to go visit some family. Come subscribe to the podcast, and hopefully we'll see you there. And with that, we'll see you, my friends, in another Grayscale Gorilla podcast. Thanks for coming, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.